This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Welcome along to Carlton Palmer's It Is What It Is. My name's Darren Harper. In the studio with me is Burnley Joe.
Yes, hello.
How are
There's
you
two
doing?
Of us this week.
I know.
Carlton. Well,
I
three
know.
Of us.
Well, three
Carlton's
of us.
Because Carlton's here as well.
Because Carlton's here as well. Hello, Carlton.
Yeah, it takes. You've had to bring in your resources to take me on now, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
One of you's not good enough, is it?
We need a two-pronged attack when we're dealing with Carlton Palmer. That's what it is now. A two-pronged attack. Carlton, how are you? All right.
I've got my trusted friend, a nice glass of chilled Polyfume helping me out this side.
I've got a nice glass of beer Moretti. No, I ain't really.
I've got a cup of tepid tea in my R2-D2 mug.
I've just had some Slimming World quiches, apparently. That's what they apparently were. I just ate something,
They are Slimming World quiches. Carlton, we're having a bit of a World Cup special on It Is What It Is because it is World Cup Eve. Very, very exciting ahead of the World Cup. I'm not going to get excited about England yet. Until after the game against Tunisia. But are you excited about the World Cup as a whole, Carlton? It looks like it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, listen, I'm a massive, massive football fan. So, you know, I know people talk about the Champions League, and I love the Champions League as well. I love all football tournaments. I love the Carling Cup or the Caribou Cup. I love I watch League Two games. I watch the Spanish League. I watch the Italian League. I watch any football. I was explaining to. We had our sports awards in our school yesterday, and I explained to the people that if you've got something in your blood, you know, from a young age, from ever since I remembered, all I wanted to do was play football. All I wanted to do. So, you know, to be able to live that and then still finish and be able to still be involved in football, there ain't nothing better for me.
It is the dream.
It is, isn't it?
This is why I went into journalism, just to do football and sport journalism, because I wasn't
getting
good enough.
Paid to do it. I mean, this is the great thing, isn't it? We're getting paid to talk about football.
Exactly.
Tomorrow, we're going to get to watch football, talk about it, and
get paid
to do it.
I'm going to get paid for it. I mean, it's not as good as getting £20,000 a week to actually play football, but it's the next best thing.
It's slightly different, yeah. It's slightly less money.
No, but it depends whether you put money on it. I'll tell you now. I mean, I'm not trying to be hypocritical or not.
Okay.
I would play for nothing. That is how much I love playing football. And I prove that. I mean, there's no, I can say it live on here. When George Graham came into Leeds United and he said to me he didn't want me, I could have gone to a whole host of clubs. I could have also sat on my ass at Leeds United earning a hell of a lot of money for 4 years. I took £4,000 drop in wages a week to go and play at Southampton with Dave Jones. And that's what I did because I didn't believe he'd leave me out of the team just because he wanted me out. And when you miss the opening day of the season, as a professional footballer, if you care about football, that opening day of the season is so special. It's so special. And when I didn't play on that opening day of the season, that's me. I've got to get off and go and play somewhere else. That's as simple as it is, because I want to play football.
I must admit, you look at that young England squad that are over there in Russia, and some of them must be just pinching themselves thinking...
Especially Trent. The likes of Trent.
They're in the World Cup. I was speaking to our reporter over there, Joe Townsend, earlier, and he was saying, you know, he's just getting like a little schoolboy because he's over there and everything's all exciting.
I'm so jealous of the people that are out there.
I know.
I'm so jealous.
It just looks so cool.
But you know what's wrong is people are frightened to get excited in the UK because they're frightened of failure. Forget failure. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. At least there's a feel-good factor. Let's get behind the boys. Let's have a bit of belief. We have got a good young side. Bearing in mind, we've just gone and won the under-21s again, right? We've got a good young side. Let's get behind him. Let's have that belief. And even if it doesn't work out, isn't it great that it just lifts the whole country and the whole country gets behind the England team rather than we're already anticipating failure? Forget that. You can't think that. You can't think that way. Give me one reason why England can't win the World Cup.
Penalties.
You don't have to be.
Penalties.
You don't have to be the best side to win a World Cup, a championship. Let me tell you, when Jose Mourinho went to Real Madrid, they weren't the best side when they won the league title. They weren't, but what they did, or what Jose did, he worked out that the way Barcelona played, They were going to draw games because they play possession. So what he worked out was, we don't need to beat Barcelona. All we have to do is beat all the other sides around them. They weren't the best side in the league, but they won. So you don't have to be the best side in the tournament. What you've got to do is perform and get an even break. And why not? So what I want the country to do is have that belief. And I'm not being over optimistic, but I have confidence at least of England getting to the quarterfinals or the semi-finals. I really have. And if they don't, I'll analyse it at that time. But you know what? It's good to believe.
Yeah,
it's,
you know, I agree with you. If you look at the group, just look at England's group now. Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, England. There is no excuses. We should get out of that group. Whether it's second or first, it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, but you see, this is where the problem comes, right? Don't say we should get out of the group, right? Forget that.
We're going to win the group, Carlton.
Right. Sorry?
We're going to win the group. We're going to win it.
Well, I honestly believe, right? I believe we'll top the group, right? Belgium are a good side, right? But I believe they're beatable. And I believe England are a better team than Belgium. I believe we'll top the group. But what I'm saying is, let's not start looking way above. Let's look to that first game and let's look for an England win. And then we can build momentum. Right, you never see the Germans going, oh, well, we'll top the group, and with it, they go, right, we don't want to get beat the first game.
Yeah.
Okay, in major tournaments now, I think it's changed a little bit now. Where you went into the tournament and said, don't want to lose the first game, it's now become important to win the first game. Because not losing the first game doesn't automatically get you out of the group. So what you want to do is win that first game, and then you've got every chance of getting out of the group. I think England will get out the group and they'll win the group. I really do.
To be fair, I tend to agree.
Yeah.
Because it's Tunisia first. Looking at that game, we should win that one. Then it's Panama after that. But obviously, Belgium play the same teams because we play each other last.
Yeah.
So for me, us and Belgium, we're going to that on 6 points each. So the pressure's off slightly. And I think once the pressure's off slightly, we'll perform better and we'll win that group because we'll win that game, in my opinion.
16-1 England on the outrights to win the World Cup. 16-1
to win that group. Then I'm like,
I'll have some of that. Yeah, definitely. No, 16-1.
Well, listen. As I said, we can dare to dream, can't we? We can dare to dream. I'm not saying, and I'm not sitting there kidding people on that England are the best team in the World Cup. They're not. I would say there's at least 4 or 5 teams that are better than England. But when I'm saying 4 or 5 teams, so we're talking about down to the quarterfinal stage. Anything can happen to the quarterfinal stage. Remember, teams get injuries. There's lots of things, but there's so many things that give me optimism this year because of where we're playing, because he's gone with youth, and with youth goes that bit of naivety, and Gareth's got to manage that in terms of, you know, being able to adapt, which he's shown that. I mean, the only area for me that I worry about, and I'll say that, which normally we're blessed with great... I'm not worried about the goalkeeping situation, I'll be honest with that. But I worry about whether we go to a flat back four. I think in the three, we still lack a bit of pace apart from Kyle Walker. But I tell you what we have got, from midfield going forward, and I think Gareth's made a statement already, he's only going to play the one holding midfield player, which I think is correct. Let's go and frighten the life out of teams with the pace we've got. Let Sterling go wherever he wants. He's done that for Man City this season. He's learnt from when he was at Liverpool. He's learnt which areas to go into, which space to go into, and he's learnt to be effective in what he's done. 23 goals, and they're still, by the way, having a pop at him in the newspaper. I see there's, you know, they've tried to bring... Why would the press bring up his contract talks in the when the World Cup's going to start? He's still got 2 years on his contract. Man City will sort his contract out because they won't allow him to go. Why would the press bring that up at this point? Half of me believes the press doesn't want us to do well.
No, they just like stirring it up. There's no doubt about that. And I was listening to an interview, actually, quite interesting. I heard Rob Green being interviewed on a certain national radio station yesterday, and he was talking about what it's like in sort of like inside a squad. and he was talking about the inside Capello's squad. And you look at the squad at the moment, they seem all very much together. They seem all very, very happy. That Gareth Southgate's got, like, he seems to have a good feeling in there. He seems to be protecting them quite well. He seems to be fending off the press quite easily. Putting up that media day last week was a masterstroke, I think, for all 23 of the players to be available. And Rob Green was saying that, you know, Capello sounded an absolute bloody nightmare. He would weigh the players every single day. They would be weighed and they'll be told if they were too fat. And every single day they would be told that. It sounded like horrendous. You've been involved in England squads yourself, Carlton. What's it like within that sort of squad atmosphere?
Well, I mean, when you play for England, whether you, the fans believe this or not, and I know they're going to turn around and say, well, you know, you earn this amount of money and that. The money doesn't come into it. There is enormous amount of expectation and pressure on you. I unfortunately I didn't get to go to a World Cup, but I played in the European Championships and I played for England all the way through. And there is a tremendous amount of pressure. But when I look back and I think, when I was younger, the pressure didn't bother me so much. As I got older and you're playing for big clubs, Leeds United, Sheffield Wednesday, because you're a big name player, comes pressure. But when you're a young player, say Rashford. There's no real pressure on his shoulders.
No.
There's no real pressure on Raheem Sterling's shoulders. There's pressure on Harry Kane's shoulders to deliver goal only because he's proven that he's a world-class goal scorer. And so with that, you have to live with it. So, you know, I do believe that there's a difference with Gareth Southgate. If you look at the other managers we've had, they've all been foreign managers. And they've all been paid a lot of money to deliver success. So they're going to be under pressure. With Gareth Southgate, I think this year, it's a little bit different. The FA have put him in charge. I wasn't sure about it, to be fair, but I'm going to hold my hands up and I'm saying at the moment it looks like a masterstroke.
Yeah.
But they put him in charge and whatever happens to Gareth Southgate after this World Cup, he will not get the sack. And so there's that. If you look at it, normally going into a World Cup, the press are having a dig at the manager, or there's some. They're not with Gareth because they know they like him. He's got this. They know they won't get anything on Gareth because he's as straight as lace. So there's no way they can dig up any dirt on him. And they like what he's doing. So, and he plays to the press a little bit. Like you say, the media day, he does. You know, he's played the game well. He's played the game well. And if he delivers quarter-final or semi-final, fair play to him.
Let's just have a look through some of the other groups, shall we? In fact, I'll tell you what, let's have a look through Group B first. I know we should start with the host. They start tomorrow. But there's just some news that's been coming out of the World Cup and coming out of Russia this morning. There's always one team. There's always one team, Carlton, that seems to have absolute turmoil going into the World Cup. It looks like it's Spain this year, because we're just receiving news that the Spanish Football Federation has announced that Julian Lopetegu, who is the Spain coach, he's been sacked on the eve of the tournament. He has been sacked. He's the guy that's going to be taking over from Real Madrid coach at the end of this tournament, but he's been sacked as the Spanish coach. So Spain are in turmoil 24 hours before the World Cup begins.
Now, listen, I knew he was taking over from Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've sacked him because, right, he's not informed the Spanish authorities that he's been speaking to Real Madrid and they've just found out about it. Again, it's whether they have, it's bad timing.
Yeah.
It's bad timing. But when you get to this stage of a tournament and you're talking about, you know, international football players, as long as you get coaching, that really isn't an issue. As long as you get a good coaching, because you're talking about seasoned international footballers. Right. OK, then he might have a new manager or coach might come in and have a different style of play. Right. But if you're a footballer, you can play. End of story. And the Spanish can play.
We'll have a quick look through Group B then, because their first game, Spain, quite an easy one for them. They're up against Portugal on Friday night. That group's quite cool, actually, because you've got Portugal, Spain, Morocco, Iran. I think that's quite a tough group.
It is a tough group. Let me tell you, Portugal are a very good team. Yeah. They've got some very good technical players, and you have a man, you know, who can win a football match. If he says today he wants to play, Portugal win the football match. So, you know, it's a tough group, but you'd expect Spain and Portugal to come through that group.
Yeah, I think
looks
so.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Group A, Joe, have a look through that one for us.
Well, Group A's got the horse in it, so it's Russia. Obviously, that kicks off tomorrow against Saudi Arabia, Egypt and Uruguay. I think it's a little bit of a tough one to call that one, but I think I would probably go with Uruguay winning it. And then Russia, what do you think, Carlton?
You think Uruguay will win it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think the host nation will win it. I think Russia, I think Uruguay will go through, but I think Russia will go through as top of the group. I think they will.
Interesting. I think I'm going to put my bet on today for group winners.
So
I might revise that one on the advice of an ex-pro.
Should we do a group?
No, don't go with me. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. My missus is not here, but she'll tell you. I mean, I do actually bet every week on the football. Every week on the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I'm on average between 7 and 8 every week.
That's pretty good.
That's good. I've not won a bet all season.
So you're rubbish.
But you see, in the Premier League, it's a little bit different, right? Because, you know, you know the form, you know teams play, and I get the, you know, I know who's injured and who's not playing and whatever. So you can gauge it a little bit better. It's different in the World Cup. But as it goes on, listen, there won't be. There's always teams who throw up surprises, like in the European Championship I played in, Denmark went on to win it and they come in through the back door. But very rarely do you get a few of the African teams in the World Cup who go further than you expect them to do. But usually, when it gets down to the last 8 and the last 4, they're your recognised teams.
Yeah, we'll talk about surprise packages in a while. But going on to Group C, I love Group C. France. Obviously going to be the favourite in that one. A lot of people tipping France for the whole thing this time round. I wouldn't put it past them.
I think
them.
If they click...
That's the thing. They're another team that can fall apart.
Yeah, but I think at the minute, I've not really been paying that much attention to the French as much as I have the English, but all the noise is coming out of the French camp. Put it this way, it's a lot more harmonised than the Spanish camp at the minute.
Well, yeah, that's
so
true.
So Spain look like sad that they'll be falling apart for me, whereas I fully expect the French to do well, and that France are my bet for winning it.
You've got France, Australia, Peru and Denmark in that group. So a very, very tough group for Australia to get out of. If Australia were going to get out, they'll do very, very well, Carlton, to get out of that group.
No, I don't see it. I would go for France and Denmark.
Yeah.
There's a lot of noises coming from the French, and a lot of people are saying to me, Carlton, who are in world football and whatever, they're saying this French side, it's young, it's got pace. But I'm telling you now, a lot of people are fancying France, and they're on a par with England. They're exactly the same with the young players and whatever. So people are fancying France, then England are in that same bracket as well. So I think France will do well. I really do, because I think what they've done is they've got rid of a few egos, because that's the problem with the likes of France, the Dutch and the Belgians. They get one or two players who are the star players in the team, and it creates a problem in the rest of the camp. You can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to have what wins major tournaments is not individual footballers. Individual footballers can win a game. What wins tournaments is team spirit and togetherness. And those individual great footballers putting it together for the teams. And that's what Ronaldo does, and that's what Messi does. That's why they're regarded as the world's greatest footballers as it stands at the moment.
Moving on to Group D then, Carlton. You've got Argentina, Iceland, Croatia and Nigeria. I think Argentina, again, going to be the favourites in that one. I think they should win that one, probably a little bit comfortably. But after that, after watching Nigeria the other week against England, I thought they were poor, especially in the first half, so I think they might miss out. And then it's one of two from Croatia and Iceland. Probably go for Croatia. What about you?
No, I'm going Argentina and Nigeria. Listen, don't make anything about friendlies. England would be winning World Cups and European Championships every 2 and 4 years if we went off friendlies. You know, teams use friendlies to try players out, try different systems out. none of the friendlies leading up to the World Cup mean anything. There are no indicators from there who's going to win the World Cup or how they're going to finish. Trust me, Nigeria will get out of that group.
I do like Iceland, though.
I like Iceland.
Group E, Carlton, Brazil, Switzerland, Serbia and Costa Rica. Obviously, the Brazilians, they should walk that group. Who else goes through for you?
It's a tough one, this one.
I think
it's a tough one. I think it's going to be very close. I think you'd probably go with Switzerland.
Yeah.
But I think it's a close one. I think it's really close. Brazil should walk this one. Should be a comfortable exit for Brazil. And then, you know, Switzerland, Croatia, it's close. It's close.
It's really tough, isn't it, really, that one?
That one. Can't call it.
Yeah.
Move on to Group F, then. It's probably one for me that's a little bit more simple. You've got Germany, Mexico, Sweden and South Korea. So Germany, Mexico, quite easily.
Well, I don't know. I quite fancy Sweden.
Yeah.
I like Sweden. They always do well in these competitions.
Be interested to see how they get on with LATAM.
Yeah, they do. They do well. But where's their talisman? Like, with you know, Slatton's, you know, I mean, look at the goals he scored and whatever.
Still
I don't see
now,
them.
Yeah,
Mexico are a good side, you know. They're a good side. I think Germany and Mexico get out of that group.
Poor old Pontus. Come on, Pontus, you can do it, son. Group G, we've talked about, of course, that's Belgium, Panama, Tunisia and England.
Come on, England.
And finally, Group H, Poland, Senegal, Colombia and Japan. This is quite a tough
that
one to pick a couple
that one's
out
quite
here.
Open, that one, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, anyone could get this one, I think.
I've not seen much of the Senegal, so I don't know what kind of team they are. But you normally get one of the African nations coming up with something special, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Colombia, I've not seen much of them. I can't call this group. I think it's a wide open group, I would say.
Totally agree with that one. I think for me, if I had to choose one, I'd choose Colombia, mainly due to the fact of like James Rodriguez, and I think they did well last time out.
I think you're probably right, yeah.
Now, we know that Spain are obviously the team that's going to implode now after what's been happening in the last 24 hours, but who's going to be...
Don't say that, because in adversity comes strength.
Yeah, not usually, though, in the World Cup, not usually. But we'll see. I'm wondering who will be the surprise package. Who's going to be the South Korea? Who's going to be the Iceland of this particular tournament? Because there's always one that no one really takes any notice of that seems to go through. Who, for you, Carlton, would be a surprise package?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, listen, I'm looking at France and Belgium. I think they're both... It's got to be a matter of time that one of these nations does something. You know, they've got some talented players and it's been a while. So I'm looking at Belgium and I'm thinking, you know, maybe this could be their year. Mm. Maybe it could be this year. But then when you're looking at, you know, I don't really see Japan or getting out of the group. I really don't. It's very difficult. I look at the African nations. Like you say, I think Nigeria will do better when it comes to the World Cup, but they're not looking like, you know, normally you have the Cameroons or somebody like that that you think, okay, they could do something, you know, in this tournament. But it's very difficult to look at the teams in there and say that anyone's going to do any better than the fancy teams. It really is. I mean, one that you might just have a little pop at and we say... You know, is in Group C, Australia nick results.
Yeah.
And they won't go on and win it, but they might surprise a few. I mean, they would surprise me if they got out of the group, but then I think they're capable of doing it.
Ooh, intriguing, I must admit. We've got our man over in Russia, Australian journalist James Willoughby. We'll be catching up with him on the Football Verdict podcast in the next week or so. What about players-wise? Who's going to be the star of the tournament? Do you think it's going to be like a Messi or a Ronaldo? Or
I'd love Messi to do it. I would love... Me, personally, before we pass it on to Carlton, I think...
I think Emery Winter made a good point last week about the last World Cup, Neymar getting that injury. I think it were against Croatia, and then he couldn't play in the semi-final. Or against Colombia,
and then they got battered.
And then they got battered in the semi-final against Germany. So I think he'll be the star of the show as Brazil go on to do really well in the tournament, for me.
Oh, he's a fantastic football player. Make no mistake about that. And I think you're right, in the last World Cup, if he doesn't get injured, then, you know, they go on to win it. I think this will be Messi's last World Cup. He's kind of intimated that. And it's a shame when you see great players like that that don't lift, you know, they've lifted domestic trophies, but not on a world level. And it'd be a shame that he wasn't able to do that. And from a nostalgic point of view, I'd like him to do that, because
I just
see him as, you know, I watch football from a different perspective, a different angle, right? I know that people who watch the TV, they watch all their flair players, but I look at the players that win you titles, that win you, you know, World Cups, that win you Premier Leagues. I look at the Kantes, I look at the Matic, I look at the... But Messi is one of those players. You know, he's not just a flair player. He, you know, he gets up, he gets down, he tracks back. He's a talisman, as well as being a world-class player. So it would be fitting if Argentina won the World Cup this year. But I'm not sure they've got enough good enough players around him to make that happen.
Totally
I'm
agree. Not sure. I think for me, he's my favourite ever footballer, is Messi. He's just an absolute magician. I would love to see him win the World Cup. Even with Argentina.
Favourite ever footballer, really?
Yeah.
He's no Carlton Palmer for me.
Me too. I think it's been a magnificent rivalry between Ronaldo and Messi in Spain. I mean, if you look at the stats, they're so evenly matched. It's untrue. But I'm not doing Ronaldo down. But if I was going to say who is the better player for his team, I would say Messi all day long.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Right. Okay, we're only a day away from it now. Carlton, thanks very much for your time. It's getting very, very exciting. Come on, England, we can do it. Come on, we can do it. Carlton, thanks for your time. We'll be back again with you next week.
Cheers, Carlton.
And by the way, I've put 50 quid on Harry Kane getting the golden boot.
Ooh, really?
Interesting.
Yes. Well, if I'm fancying England to get the semi-finals, he's going to have to score some goals to get us there, isn't he?
True that.
That could be very, very wise money indeed. Carlton, thanks for your time.
Cheers, thank you. Take care.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.